The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Nice to be clean down there, but, you know, but no, not putting any wax on actual page, you might as well forget about it. Right?
Worst.
Take off your shirt.
Okay.
Oh, we're gonna need more wax!
I'm staying. This is gonna be good.
And clear all my appointments in the afternoon.
I like your sweater. Does that come in a V-neck?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Am I right, Ashy?
Why would anyone just do that?
And I'm the man, I love a good bet, and I don't mind losing a good bet.
Remember when I couldn't breathe on Friday?
Such bitch.
Nothing wrong with a hairy dingle.
Oh, God. What's next? No, you're doing the nipple.
Oh, not the nipple.
Come on.
Not the nipple.
Not the nipple. Please, Cal, hold my hand. Do it. Just hold. Okay, here we go.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I get stuck on things from time to time.
Gabe,
it goes back to Holmgren.
Visualization.
The visualization is driving me nuts.
Nuts!
Yep. 1, 2, 3. Oh, Mika, you should burn in hell! Okay. All right, no, seriously, I think I'm done.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride, and she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around, she wants to ride.
Little hop in the DeLorean yesterday for the old Jen, Gabe, and Chewy crew. Little trip down memory lane. Got a text message from one Gabe Neitzel at 7:41 p.m. that said Super Bowl 32 is on NFL Network. And so we, having nothing to watch last night at the old Melendez household, turned it on. My 12-year-old says, after watching about 30 minutes of the game, when one Mark Chamora has a couple of catches and a lot of blocks. Blocks-ish. Some blocks.
My blocking is done.
He had a tackle, too, in that game.
I did.
Hey, Chewy was pretty good, huh?
Why was it on?
I have no idea. I got a text that it was on, so I'm like, yeah, I'll flip between it. I'll flip over to it, see what's up.
Well, because when we were clicking through the channels, I saw that WWE was on, and I said, yeah, there's no way Gabe is going to watch this game that he has seen before, that he has fond memories of until the outcome of the game, of course, instead of WWE. But you did watch the game last night.
Yeah, look, Monday Night Raw is 3 hours long, and sometimes it starts to drag a little bit, so you need something to kind of flip between back and forth. And I knew that our guy had a pretty big series coming up at the end of the second quarter, so I wanted to make sure I was watching to see the catches that our guy made. I remembered the touchdown catch that you had in Super Bowl 32, which, by the way, super athletic catch. Like, really good throw from Brett, but you had to go up, back corner of the end zone, somehow get your 253-pound body down, got the hand, elbow, both feet, butt got down, all in bounds for the touchdown, had to sky up, grab it. It was a really athletic catch.
I almost tripped.
Yes, on Braxton's foot.
I came off the line, and I'm like, okay, this is looking good, which wasn't a really good call because that call is supposed to be from the 2 yard in.
And you guys were on
and it was
the
at
eight?
The four.
Okay.
Or, no, it might have been.
Yeah, I think you were on the other side of the five.
So it was kind of a weird call, and I had to adjust my route. And I remember coming off the line, and I almost face planted.
There was one step. There was the one false step in there.
And I thought you went to, like, protect your junk, to be honest. Like, we rewound it probably six or seven times.
It wasn't protect.
I really thought for a second that Braxton had nailed you in the junk, kind of like as a strategy, defensive move type of thing. But no, you just tripped over his foot a little bit, but you recovered.
I was in the air, and I was off balance, and my feet were kind of out in front of me, and I'm like, I got to get down somehow, or I'm going to be out of bounds. So I landed on my butt, I think.
Yeah, you kind of, your elbow came down first, and then your butt hit.
All inbounds, though, all inbounds. Yeah. It's great. So Super Bowl 32 was on the NFL Network last night, and we did, in fact, watch a huge chunk of that game. Our guy, Chu, ended with 4 catches, 43 yards, 1 touchdown that we just talked about, and again, hell of a blocking game for you, because we're watching to see where he lines up. Oh, and end of the line. Up there he is. End of the line. Oh, there he is. You know, it was kind of fun to watch. But you and Romanowski.
Yeah, we don't like. We almost got in a fight in that game.
Yes.
And he punched me. I think it was the third. Yeah, it was the third quarter. And the ref was standing right there. And I'm like, are you going to call me? Are you going to call me if I punch him back? He's like, just clean it up. Shut up. Jerk.
So I sent you all this in the text chain last night. Dario, as we're watching the game, I don't think he had ever watched Romanowski play either. And he was like, oh, he's a dirty player.
Yeah.
He says, oh, that reminds me. Dario's telling me the story. When he was at ESPN, he had to do a segment with a sports memorabilia person. Okay. And it's like, oh, whatever. And Dario loves sports memorabilia, by the way. He loves going out to the places and getting the autographs and checking out the stuff. He loves knowing what things are worth and what makes something more valuable or less valuable. So he asks the sports memorabilia guy when he's at ESPN, what's the craziest thing that you've ever sold? And the guy, hand to God, you guys, says to him, we once sold a Bill Romanowski jersey that had razor blades sewn into the numbers on the shoulders and the numbers in the chest. You think this guy was out there running around with razor blades in his uniform trying to nick people up?
You tell me, Chu.
We went to school together. Did you know we went to BC together?
I did not know that.
I can't stand the guy. And he now wrote a book, and he said I was the dumbest player. He's a clown. But now he's in suck-up mode where he comes up to me and tries to suck
wait,
up. And
wait,
I'm
wait,
like,
wait, wait.
Get lost.
Romanowski wrote a book. First of all,
can't read it.
First of all,
I think he maybe wrote it with Adam Schefter. I think maybe he was
What?
Because Schefter covered the Broncos for all those years.
I mean,
years.
That makes sense. Schefter's a smart guy. Romanowski, I don't know if he could actually write 3 words down on a piece of paper. Should I be angering the guy who was putting razor blades in his jersey?
Wait, but you believe it. Do you believe that story? Like, because I said, that cannot be possible. I said, how in the world would you let a jersey that had razor blades sewn into the numbers out of your sight? How do you let that go to the open market?
Yeah, I mean, because he's dumb.
No,
he called you in the book the dumbest player?
Yeah, he's a moron.
Now I gotta look
and I didn't mind him when he was at BC, but he would be perfect in today's game because all he is a self-promoter, you know? And I've never taken an illegal PED in my life, or at least none that I know of. This guy's a clown. He was injecting, like, goat urine into him. He's a clown, you know? No, I'm serious.
800-990-3776. What do you believe more, that Romanowski was sewing razor blades into his jersey or that he was injecting goat urine? Let us know. 800-990-3776. No, but seriously, guys, when he said that to me, I just like, I was blown away. I said, first of all, you could never get away with that now, right? In this day and age, there's got to be much more like strong monitoring of the stuff. Plus, it feels like anytime a guy finishes a big game, don't they authenticate that stuff right away? Don't they like I feel like
well,
it was a little.
Down in the day, we used to get patted down for silicone. So there's no, that's ridiculous.
So somebody did that after they got their
yeah,
hands on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh god, that makes me feel so
but
much.
But he
better.
Was hated in the league. I mean, didn't he spit in JJ Stokes's face or something?
I think that's right.
He's just a clown.
Gabe, what is your? Tell me about watching that game when it actually aired. Watching Super Bowl 32, which we all watched last night again on NFL Network, except for Chewy because he knew how it ended.
Yeah, we lost.
Yeah, I mean, I knew how it ended too. I couldn't watch the second half. Like the first half, like the early parts after you guys get the turnover right away, early third quarter, kick the field goal after getting an opportunity to score a touchdown, and then kind of choked.
Yeah, that fizzled.
Yeah. Kind of fizzled a little bit, and then Longwell kicks the field goal, ties it at 17. After that, I couldn't watch it.
No.
But I remember, so I would have been right on, I either turned 12 right before the game or right after the game. I think maybe that game was January 28th, so a couple days later I would have turned 12. So I remember going to my aunt's house to watch it, because she had a big, nice big TV. So I was really excited to be able to watch the game on that big TV, wearing Super Bowl gear from the year before, thinking there was no chance that my favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, were going to lose that game.
Well, when we were favored by 12?
I believe it was 12.
And I remember I had to fly to Hawaii right, like 5 a.m. the next morning, and I was sick as a dog. I was just so spent, so beat. I had a temp of, like, there's nothing worse than, like, a temp of 102 in Hawaii.
Yeah, I got to imagine that's kind of miserable.
Yeah, so I missed practice till Thursday. Probably should have been till Wednesday, but I took a day. That sucks.
Thought you earned
it. Terrible. I mean...
Terrible what, to go to Hawaii with the 102 temperature?
No, terrible to lose. We're looked at differently if we win that game.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%.
But, I mean,
and like, the crazy part is the Broncos are looked at differently, too.
Yeah.
If they lose.
Yes. 100%. Like, I don't know if they ride that wave of momentum and win the Super Bowl the next year.
There are a lot of things that happened in that game that didn't need to happen that were just so stupid.
Like what?
Well, Gabe Wilkins taking a dive before the game. And we didn't even know offensively that he took a dive because it was a contract year. I mean, who doesn't want to play in the Super Bowl?
Gabe Wilkins.
I would have to be missing my lower leg. You know,
searching,
so he takes a dive. So then Paul Fraze, who was the long snapper, because they didn't activate anyone, had to play that position. And then you saw Darius Holland had to play out of position, so he had to play end. Reggie disappeared. I don't know where Reggie went.
I think he had one tackle for the game when
he
went back
to
the box.
Anything. And Elway threw for like 80 yards.
Yeah.
But Terrell Davis rushed. And we were still a good defense, even though we weren't as good as the year before. We were still top five defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Davis, 157 yards, 30 carries, 3 touchdowns.
And then offensively, and I've talked about it before, we had the scat tag on, which tells the running back just to release. You take the scat tag off, the running back then has to check, blitz, and then release. Which Atwater had, like, what, 2 sacks or something like that in the game, which were clearly stupid. There was fighting between the O-line coach and Holmgren. He wouldn't take the scat tag off, and we lose.
Brett kind of panicked a little bit, huh?
Got a little
panicky.
He still played well.
But that interception he threw early was very panicky. Probably should have just ate it and took the sack. Instead, he tried to force one.
Well, he was forced out of the pocket. No, it was to Robert.
Oh, to Robert.
And the guy just fell at my feet, and I got a tackle.
You did. You jumped right on him.
You see that? But it was just goofy stuff like that. And then the second half.
Beautiful form.
And I battled with Homer. He's trying to tell me that Denver was better than people thought. I don't think so. If our run defense shows up and holds Davis to 150 yards, it's a different game. Right?
You're not wrong.
And then he was out. I would have been kicking him in the head. If I knew he had a migraine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of an unwritten thing, but you know where you tackle him? In the head.
Well, it was
1997.
Yeah, so times have changed. And the biggest thing that that signified times changing, watching the game, and they go to Jim Gray on the sideline for a report, and they're like, they've got a close up on Davis, and he's doing that thing like when you're trying to clear your head, he's like closing his eyes and then trying to open them wide, and be like, you could tell that there's something wrong. And Jim Gray went, "Oh, Davis was just kicked in the head. He's a little dizzy, but he'll return." Can you imagine the words, "He's a little dizzy, but he'll return"
in
2022
game?
NFL?
I mean, it's like a boxer. If you're boxing someone and they have a huge cut on their face, you're not like, "Ooh, I can't hit him there. It's cut and bleeding." No, you flipping.
Hit it more.
You hit it more. Stupid.
It sounds like you have some regrets about that game. I mean, again, even last night.
I'll tell you this, Jen. That game trumps winning Super Bowl 31. Just does.
What do you mean trumps, though? Like, you mean from, like, an emotional standpoint? From like
the
like
joy I had from Super Bowl 31 is trumped by the fact that we are 12-point favorites and just blew it. You know?
So you can't even watch?
No. Yeah. Can't even watch. Painful enough to talk about.
But again, it's crazy how game. Like the memories are just like boom, popping right back. Boom, popping right back. And it seems like you could like recall every single play of that game asked to.
I've known Chewy for coming up on 9 years now. And I've only heard him, I don't think I've heard him talk much about Super Bowl 31 unless I prompt him. Super Bowl 32 will just come up.
I'm going home.
Oh,
we started
the day on the wrong foot.
Like you're trying to take advantage of a situation.
Me?
Well, 800-990-3776. If you have memories of Super Bowl 32, and I'm not saying that they're going to be great ones, but it was actually kind of fun going down memory lane, hopping in the DeLorean last night as Super Bowl 32 was on the NFL Network, and we got to watch the big guy here in action. All right, coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. For money or for memories? We debate after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I wonder if he goes...
If you lie, but cough right after the lie, yeah. Is it really a lie? Because now we all know you're lying.
That's a tell. You know?
Bad poker.
Probably
player.
Not a good
Do you have a
player.
Tell? Do you have a tell, like, when you're lying?
Yeah, I'm talking.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Don't you love it? Don't you love it? No, I ain't happy yet. But I'm way less sad.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee. Let me ask you guys this. Do players play for memories or for money?
Today's game or back in the old days?
There's a difference?
Yeah. I think more players today play for themselves than they do, even though we had them.
Sure.
And Ron weeded them out. But I think there's more of them today with their Twitter accounts and look at me and how many clicks do I get and all.
No, it's another way of making money, though. It's another revenue source.
When you look at how contracts have just absolutely exploded, Chu, because you were the highest paid tight end at your position in, like, after that Super Bowl, in like, 98 or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how much were you making?
Three or four, something like that. Yeah.
Highest paid tight end in the NFL now makes 15.
Yeah.
So, like, the money has just exponentially grown.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's, like, would you have had more guys in your era with the money that is now play a little bit more for themselves, try to protect their future, try to go after that cash?
Probably, because the guys from the 60s probably looked at us the same way I look at today's players.
Sure.
You know? Their practices are a joke, and ours were a joke at the time because there were two schools of thought. There was the Parcells and his disciples that were like doubles, pads, and then there was the Bill Walsh, which is more finesse. You know, we were one long practice padded a day and then a special teams practice in the afternoon. So there were two schools of thought.
So here's why I bring this up, guys. Because Jimmy Garoppolo is taking some shrapnel from former teammates. Marcellus Bennett was the first one. He, I think, it was a while ago. It wasn't even recently.
It was last year.
Yeah, where he kind of like took some shots at Jimmy Garoppolo, calling him soft, calling him the B word, other things like that, for not playing a game back in 2016. It's only being brought up again because Julian Edelman is piling on, siding with Martellus Bennett, who I know is not the favorite person for people around here, Green Bay Packers fans, but still, stay with me, okay? Both guys are claiming that Jimmy Garoppolo should have played a game back in 2016 when Tom Brady was out because of Deflategate, and he was injured, he was banged up, whatever, who isn't, and decided game day not to play. So that meant that Jacoby Brissett had to play. Jacoby Brissett, who was also injured, who was dealing with torn ligaments in his thumb, was forced into a game on game day. And the guys are saying that Jimmy Garoppolo was soft. He should have played. They're throwing all these grenades at him. And so Edelman had this to say on the podcast. What was it, earlier this week, Ashton?
Yeah, earlier this week on the I Am Athlete podcast. Here's Julian Edelman.
And so we go into week four, and, you know, I guess, you know, Jimmy was practicing and then, you know, decided not to play, and Jacoby played with, you know, no ligaments in his thumb, which you can't do that as a quarterback. You can't grip, and if it's your left, and a lot of guys got mad about it. A lot of guys got mad. I'm not gonna lie, I got mad about it. You know, I sacrificed my body all day long. I was taking shots for this, numbing up that, ribs, broken ribs, shoulders, you know, grade three, hanging on by limbs just to play, you know? And you know, I can understand why Marty thinks like that. But you also got to look, hey, he just got paid. He got paid $30 million. So maybe, you know, I'm the dumb guy who didn't make as much money, sacrificed for that team. I guess I played for the memories, not the money.
Chewy, what do you think?
Yeah, that's what I... But, you know, all my years in Green Bay, four set the precedent, you know? You don't take games off. I mean, he was on crutches when we were going to play the Bears on Friday. And then he goes out on Sunday and throws for five touchdowns, you know? I mean, who's going to take a game off then? And no one did. I mean, outside of Gabe Wilkins, but, I mean, there were a handful of guys. But most guys would... I mean, when I lined up for shots, I was... Some games I was 12 in line. You know, that's just what you did. I wouldn't change a thing. You know, wouldn't change a thing.
So you
think
Marty,
play the other way. I couldn't play like, I'm going to leave my guys hanging here.
You think that Marty and Julian have a point here? That they were ticked off?
Yeah, I would have been ticked off that the guy's practicing all week long. You know? I don't know why he was doing it. Unless his agent's telling him, like, look, you've done enough. I can trade you next year. Just don't get hurt, or whatever's hurt. Don't make it worse.
So Jimmy did sign the year after that a 5-year, $137.5 million contract after he was traded to the San Francisco 49ers that had a $28.8 million roster.
That's fine. If it makes him sleep well at night, great. Do I think he's a douche? Yeah, I think he's a douche. I wouldn't want to play with him. And I played with guys like that. Nothing drove me nuts more early in my career is after a big loss, because we get paid on Tuesdays, like I told you, is guys hacking around in the locker room laughing and like, hey, it's payday, right? Win or lose, we get paid. And Ron got rid of him, which was great. And your guy was, Homer's guy was one of them.
T-Buck?
Yeah.
It's not my guy. That's Homer's guy.
No, I know. I'm still worked up from Super Bowl 30.
Yeah, got you all riled up. Got you all fired up for the day. Gabe, your reaction to this. I mean, just first of all, I think Jimmy G has a case. I think that if Chewy said is right, where his agent was like, listen, we're going to have a payday lined up. Like, Brady's already got it in the works that he wants you traded. He doesn't want you here anymore. We got to keep you fresh, free, clean for the open market, and you are going to get paid. So just don't do anything to bleep it up, okay? Like, here's what Marty said. Marty said, Chewy, then tell us on Tuesday. Tell us on Tuesday you're not playing in the game. Then maybe can you go out and get somebody? Can you go out and grab another guy? I don't even know what their third-string quarterback option was. But forcing Jacoby Brissett to play with torn ligaments in his throwing hand thumb feels like a recipe for disaster. It ultimately was. They ended up losing to the Bills.
Yeah, so I don't think they had a third quarterback because Brady was their third quarterback. And it's not like Brady was hurt. He was just serving his suspension from Deflategate, which is why Brissett ended up having, you know, they had these other two guys, so maybe they could have gone to pick somebody up. And yeah, I think the big difference here too is like, yeah, I can't leave my guys hanging. Once Jimmy G realizes that these aren't his guys, these are Brady's guys. These aren't my guys. So my guys are whatever team I'm going to end up with. Those are the guys I got to worry about. Those are the teammates I got to worry about. These aren't my guys. So yeah, he kind of left, you know, Jacoby Brissett high and dry, making him play with no limits.
But he sounds, I mean, even when he goes to San Francisco, he sounds like a puss, number one. Because isn't his MO is he's always hurt?
Partially. I mean, he spent a lot of times, you know, he's missed a lot of games in his 4 or 5 years in San Francisco.
It made it so easy playing with Brett. Because you knew he was going to be there.
And then regardless. You knew that you had to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were games I probably, I mean, I tore my PCL first week of the Super Bowl year. We were playing the Bears and got tackled awkwardly on the sideline and tore my PCL. I remember running off the field. It didn't hurt, but my top, my femur was overriding. I could feel it over my lower leg when I ran. It was weird.
Oh, you're giving me the heebie-jeebies.
And I'm like, something's wrong. And they said 4 to 6. They said 4 to 6. I was back. I missed one game. Now, in today's, I would have missed probably half the season. But number four would have played with it, so I'm not going to be that guy. You know? That's just the way it was.
It feels like a very complicated conversation to have.
I can't get over you. Oh, something's wrong. My femur's overriding.
Yeah.
Doc, something's wrong. Can you check this out? Yes, something's wrong.
Yeah, but you're the put a little dirt on it and get right back in there generation. I get it. But look, there's so much money involved here, right? And you just rattled off the numbers for what Garoppolo's contract ended up being with the 49ers. How bad was his shoulder? Look, we don't know. We don't know how bad the shoulder was. Maybe it was something that if he goes out there and tries to, you know, gut his way through it, then it makes it worse. And then he doesn't set himself up for the payday that he has. He doesn't set himself up to have a longer career in a different uniform. It is interesting, though, that these guys, they obviously lost the game and they still, to this day, feel strongly about it. For money or for memories. Chu, you made a really good point that I think it's different from era to era.
Yeah.
And this was only 6 years ago. So I don't want to make it seem like this is bygone, you know, eras and eras ago. But 6 years ago, it does feel like the money was still there. I can understand a guy making a business decision about playing in what was probably a quote-unquote meaningless-esque game in 2016 for the Patriots.
I think if he did not practice at all that week, guys would still think he's kind of soft, but they wouldn't hold the grudge that they're holding today.
Well, they kind of feel like he threw Brissett under the bus, right? That's kind of what it is. It was like, oh, protect your own health. But this guy's got a legit throwing injury, and it's going to affect our game plan. It's going to affect how well we can move the ball down the field. And what are we going to do? Throw our hands up in the air. We may as well just forfeit the game.
I don't know if I could play today's game. I don't know if I could play with guys like that. I really couldn't. And the game was different. I remember, you know, when I was banged up, Andy Reid would walk by you in the hallway or whatever and go, the P word. And they would say, could you imagine a coach saying that today? You know?
I can tell you this.
Because there was a knock on Aaron early in his career that he was not tough. He was always injured. If Aaron wasn't there with Brett, I don't know if he's playing through a lot of those. Because Aaron played through a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, because he was held up to the standard of Favre.
Exactly.
Same thing with the interceptions, right? His whole career, it seems like he's been measuring his success based on what Favre did all those years, because he knew where he was in the legacy, in the minds of fans here in Wisconsin. So Julian Edelman says, I guess I played for the memories, not the money. We're going to put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Do players today play more for the money or the memories? Let us know, 800-990-3776. Julian Edelman says he played for the memories, not the money. My question to you is this, Chew. The game is so physical. It is so demanding. It is so punishing. I almost feel like now you have to play for the money. Like, you have to make a business decision and go, if I'm going to put my body through, and I'm not saying it's different. I'm not saying it's better or worse than when you played. I'm simply saying, like, that has to go into the thought process when you're deciding, am I going to lace them up? Am I going to take the field? Am I going to go? I'm sounding like Favre right now.
Just asking the questions.
Asking myself the questions.
I don't know if they had the guilt that we had. You know what I mean? Because there was so much guilt when you were hurt. You just,
like, you were letting your guys down.
Wow, you almost felt like you were banished a little bit. You know what I mean?
That your guys would look at you differently.
Guys wouldn't interact with you as much. And I don't know if it started from the top down. Because, there was shaming
I also feel like this is a super easy thing for Julian Edelman to say. Because as a seventh-round pick, he still made $42 million.
Oh, I know. And some guys don't give a crap about, you know.
You made $42 million. Like,
yeah.
It kind of rings hollow when you still have that kind of money in the bank.
I just think that the memories are like college ball. The memories are like high school ball. That's not to say that you don't have great memories from your NFL career, but I think it's a business decision when you decide to take your talents to the next level, because you recognize, like, how easily you could be traded, or how easily they could move on for you, or how quickly you could get injured. And so everything, I feel like, is about the money. The memories are gravy. The memories are the cherry on top. If you can make some friends and you can have some good memories walking away from the NFL, great. But the reason you do it is because of the bank account for most of these guys, I think, for most of them. Are you thinking it's for less of the guys?
Well,
I know that there's a scale of salary. Not everybody's making buku bucks.
But it's tough to draw that line, just because even once you get to the college level, like, I have seen talented high school players who probably didn't love football, but were more talented at football versus other sports and got the opportunity to play at a higher level, but they didn't love the game, so they didn't succeed.
No.
So there has to be a love there.
It's also different, though, because of the franchise that, you know, playing for the Packers. I could call the Packers right now and say, hey, could you get me in to see Pat McKenzie right now? I messed my ankle up. They'd be like, yeah, when do you want to go this afternoon? Joe Schlunk, that plays for whoever, Oakland Raiders, right, isn't getting that treatment.
Yeah.
Because I hear it from guys that I played against in the league. They're like, wow, they still have you back? Like, I don't even hear from the franchise that I played for. So it's different. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%.
800-990-3776. Do players today play more for the money or for the memories? Julian Edelman says he's a guy who played for the memories, not the money. We'll continue this conversation and more after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hoth. Is that a place?
What?
Yeah.
That's a place,
that's
right?
That's a place.
Ho, ho, ho. Do I get some points there?
How do you spell?
H-O-F.
What just happened?
What are you talking about?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Weighing in on our Twitter account saying Julian Edelman is not being honest when he says he played for the memories and not the money. As Gabe said, he made $42 million. So again, maybe the money was the thing and the memories were the gravy. Like, the memories were the cherry on top of the sundae.
And I understand, like, when you look at, you know, big time NFL contracts, especially for wide receivers, $42 million doesn't seem like, oh, okay, maybe it's $42 million is still a lot of.
Yeah.
Buku dollars, my friend. Buku bucks.
James also weighing in saying, like most jobs, it's not the money that gets you started, but it's the money that keeps you playing. Let us know. Weigh in on this. It's on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account right now. Do most players today play for the money or play for the memories, as now Julian Edelman and Martellus Bennett have piled on to Jimmy Garoppolo for not playing a game back in 2016? Hey, what do you guys call the first and last slice of bread in the loaf? I'm making my kids a PB&J this weekend, and we're getting down towards the end of the bag, and I'm like, oh, should I give them this piece of bread? It's typically like the, you know, the less wanted, right? Nobody wants the last piece of the bread.
Well, the birds want it.
Well, we know that. That's feed the birds, tuppence a bag. Mary Poppins over here. What do you call that piece of the bread?
The heel.
It's the butt of the bread.
The heel.
Yes, the 100%
of the
bread.
I think I call it the end of the bread.
What do you mean?
Well, what
it's
about
the end? It's the end of the bread.
Well, what's the one? But when
what,
you
yeah. So what's
take
the first
the twist
one?
The other end. It's okay. The other end.
It's the beginning. It's the beginning and the end.
It's the beginning of the bread and it's the end of the bread. This is gonna be the end of you if you don't fall in line.
You know what the worst way to eat that is? The worst. And my mother would still use it, but hide it. French toast.
Oh, yeah.
No, that's a lot of crust.
That's smart.
No, shut up.
Because it doesn't take the egg. It doesn't take the egg as well.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, sure. Haven't you guys ever done this with the butt ends of the breads and flipped
it
on the inside?
Oh, you call it a butt?
I call it a butt, yeah.
The butt?
It's the butt. It's the butt. Definitely the butt. Definitely a butt guy over here.
Who's the character from Saturday Night Live?
What in the butt?
What? Who's the character from Saturday Night Live?
It's a song.
Tim Meadows played him.
Canteen Boy?
No, but he used to say, the butt.
Oh, ladies man?
Yes.
Ladies man?
Thank you, Gabe. You're back on the good
yeah.
side. So what were you saying, Ashy?
Isn't that a song, though, Ashy? Doing the butt? Doing the butt.
I'm not sure how you would like me to proceed here.
What were you saying is the best thing to do?
You flip the butt end and the inside, and you make so then the outside is still normal, but the inside, then you just put your peanut butter and jelly on it, or you make a turkey sandwich or something like
it's
that.
It's still not good.
No, like it's just too much crust.
It works.
Way too much crust.
It's all about the ratio. Again, most things in cooking are about the ratio.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's the ratio of crust to peanut butter and jelly.
So about the only time I'll use that is because, you know, when you buy like brats or hot dogs, sometimes the number of brats or hot dogs that you have don't add up to the buns. And in a pinch, if I'm out of a bun, but I have to like reheat a brat or hot dog for just lunch because I have them in leftovers, then I'll use it because it's bun-esque and you can kind of wrap it around and you can get by. But that's about the only time I'll use the butt of the bread.
Are you the burnt toast guy? Are you the burnt toast guy? Which means that if you had a bunch of people over and one of the pieces of toast got burnt, you're eating the burnt toast, aren't you? You're not giving the... Yeah, of course
correct.
You are. You're the burnt toast.
What kind of jerk would he be if he didn't do that? He's trying to serve it to
throw
others?
Throw it away. You don't
you
have
just throw
to
out bread.
Martyr, cooking martyr over here. You have to eat the burnt toast.
So now you're sending mixed signals because you're the same person who saves the ketchup packets from the restaurant. You're like, oh, you can't waste anything, but now you're wasting bread?
I'm just
Precious
saying,
bread?
The burnt toast person is a very specific person in the kitchen, right? Like, a lot of mothers are like that. Like, honey, I'll eat the burnt
toast. Sometimes
one.
I can go for some burnt toast. I like burnt toast.
No, there's nothing good about burn.
Yes, there is.
I burned a couple of the pierogies last night.
Marshmallows burnt are the best.
No. He's so
yes,
right.
Thank
you.
Chewy was right.
No, we debated
Chewy was right.
It just means And you can't grill a marshmallow. That's the problem. It just means that you don't know how to roast a marshmallow.
Right. The inside is perfect. It's creamy. It can be perfect and creamy when you outside. It's just
keep browning it.
No.
Yeah.
No,
yes.
No.
You have to thread the needle.
You just crush the thing. You put it in the flame, let it burn, blow it out.
You're so impatient. That's what my kids do, right?
Sam Porter over here.
Chewie's right. He's got this.
Yeah. Also, Dennis the Menace, when he's swinging the thing violently back and forth and it lands on Mr. Wilson's forehead. I call it the end of the bread. It's the end of the bread. You're saying it's the butt of the bread and he's saying it's the heel of the bread. Like, is there an official title of what it is, Ashton? This is your thing. You're the...
I've been looking up. It is known as the end. They are known as the ends of the bread. Bread loaf. That's it. Which is, to me, it's just kind of lame. Just calling it the ends, it just feels lame.
Yeah, we can do better than that.
Yeah,
as a society.
That's kind of.
It's the end of the bread as we know it. It's the... No, that doesn't work either.
The dingle?
We could do the end of the road by Boyz II Men.
What should they call it? The crap?
I mean, how many people just typically throw those two slices away?
Most.
Should they be included? Because the first thing you do after you open, you reach past that.
Correct.
So
a 1,000,000%.
Why? If you make your own bread, there's, you know, what are you going to do? You got to deal with it, right? But if I'm buying a loaf of bread from the store, why do they put it in there?
This reminds me, Chewie, of the Seinfeld episode where they're like, nobody likes the butt of the muffin.
The stumps.
Yeah. So then they have top of the morning to you.
I actually like the stumps.
So do I. Sometimes it's the best.
You know
part.
What you do? You break the stump away from what's the top called?
The top.
And then you grill them.
What? You grill a muffin?
Chin, what?
Chewie knows what he's doing.
Grill a muffin?
I've never grilled.
Yeah. Has anybody grilled a muffin? Show of hands.
No, but warmed up muffin.
You've never grilled them, Ashton?
No, but I'm going to try it now.
It is so good.
You get that little bit of toastiness.
You get a little crispiness and you bite in.
Listen, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm simply saying I've never heard of it before.
No. What kind of muffin, though, Chew?
Doesn't matter.
I'm thinking like a blueberry muffin.
It explodes.
Maybe that's true. Maybe a little butter on that.
Yeah, that's what you do. Cornbread? Cornbread muffins?
Oh, yeah. You grill.
Oh,
my. Well, cornbread, you need that little bit of... I mean, usually the top, because you have to bake it, that top is kind of providing that little bit more firmer crispiness, and then you get the crumbly goodness underneath.
Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewie poll. What do you call the last and first slices of bread in your loaf? So we got the butt, we got the heel, we got the end, and George weighing in saying, in Scotland, we call it the outsider. So maybe for the fourth one, we put other, because maybe there are other names out there that people are calling this. Chewie, I just assume that you're feeding the birds. With the bread. You're just out there crumbling it up into the and throwing it in the yard.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have done this so frequently, I assume that now the birds just come to you, like the lady in Home Alone.
Well, I stockpile.
Like Ace Ventura. He opens up the back deck, throws out his arms, and the birds just come flocking.
Jiggling the keys in the lock.
I stockpile the bread in the freezer, which I get yelled at now for the wintertime. When the birds don't have food.
So wait, are you taking the ends of the bread and you're putting them in the freezer?
No, like...
Full loaves?
You know, and it drives me nuts when all I want is a hamburger, or maybe two, but I have to go buy 12 buns.
Oh, okay, now he's the dad from Father of the Bride.
Yeah, which is stupid. Make a 2, a 4, a 6, an 8. Who do we appreciate?
Buns, buns. Let's go buns.
Right?
I like big buns. I cannot lie.
You want a piece of bread?
So I stockpile, but now it's morphed into like if leftovers don't make it, I'll toss those in the field and feeding the coyotes and things like that.
It seems as if you are not a fan of animals. You had a feud with your neighbor's dog where you ended up putting grass clippings on the dog because it was rolling in your yard. So you put a little maple syrup out there so the grass clippings would stick to the dog. Doesn't seem like you like the other animals doing things to your lawn, but birds. But you seem to like birds, so you're feeding the birds? Birds are the worst.
We're anti-pet. Don't want pets. Because I clean every day.
Yep.
I don't need to clean up
that makes
any more
sense.
Hair.
I love
to sit there and just watch the animals. You know?
Ace Chimura.
Yes. Yeah.
Pet detective.
Coyotes are funny because they can smell whatever I'm throwing in the field, but they're so weary.
Do coyotes like bread? I would think they'd be
coyotes like you. They would bite your leg.
I'm just trying to say it feels like they're more carnivores, right?
Yeah. The best is when you... throw a sausage out there or something because they can smell it forever. And they won't come out and get it in the middle of the day. They'll just duck in and out of the woods.
What if another animal makes a break for that sausage? Will they go after that animal?
Oh, yeah.
So they're kind of more or less using that sausage for bait to see if they can get something better. And if doesn't come around, they'll get
heard,
the sausage.
I mean, it's coyote fest at my house. I've heard the bones cracking from a deer they took down.
Yeah, so here's the thing. You're basically just creating Animal Planet in your backyard. That's what you're doing here, okay? You don't want to pay for the premium channel, so you're just making it happen.
I got my own zoo.
Just making streaming it happen stress. Out back and going, pull up a chair, watch what's happening in my backyard. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. What do you call the first and last slice of a loaf of bread? Your options are butt, end, or heel. Let us know on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Hey guys, have you been over to St. Kate the Arts Hotel yet? It is the perfect destination for your next night out. Make a reservation to dine at Aria. It's the highly acclaimed restaurant on the second floor of the hotel. Or you can start your night with bubbles and bites at Giggly Champagne and Wine Bar. It is Milwaukee's only champagne bar. End your evening at the bar on the ground level. They've got craft cocktails, fine wine, local beers, and the very, very best part, nightly live music. It is tough to find a spot that has nightly live music, but you go in and you always know that you might hear somebody tickle in the ivories at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. Learn more about St. Kate's dining options at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com. I'll see you there.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm a big barterer. I am. Even though I'm getting stiffed on the deal and I know that.
I'm a big barterer.
But what is the review?
The barter guy. So
on 94.5 ESPN.
It would appear y'all have opinions about what to call the first and last piece of the bread. We put it on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. What do you call it? Now, some of the names that we were familiar with were the butt, which I know I just keep saying it like the ladies' man.
The ladies' man.
The end or the heel. But a lot of our loyal listeners weighing in as well, and they've got some other names for it as well. Steve of Earth. Nice. Steve of Earth says, my wife's family calls it the pluska, and I'm not exactly sure why. Does anybody understand what pluska? Is that a Polish thing? It sounds
Polish. Polish.
I mean, we've got a resident Polish guy sitting right across from me. Is that a Polish thing?
Yeah, babblefish. What do we got?
Not familiar with the pluska.
Chef Ed weighing in saying you can call it the heel. I am also the burnt toast guy with grape jelly. Terry weighing in saying the butt ends of the bread loaf are the best part. As kids and even as adults, we fight over the ends to get them first, especially on a brand new loaf of bread.
Who's really? We?
Maybe Terry's brothers and sisters and family? See, this is one of those things. It takes all kinds, right? For every aisle seat, there is a window seat. For every, you know what I'm saying? Like, and in this situation,
yeah,
it sounds like Terry
fighting
is the
over
butt.
The middle seats.
Terry's the butt guy. He said the butt ends are the best.
Why? How?
Maybe his mom did the voodoo thing on him when they were kids and was like a little reverse psychology, which I respect as a parent, actually. Sometimes it works. And she told them that those were the best parts, right? And she was very particular about who got them. Maybe they were some type of reward for behavior or something. And now to this day, Terry thinks it's a treat.
Hmm. Respect Terry's mom.
Matthew and Waukesha weighing in saying the last piece is called the butt cheek. And Rudy from Sheboygan saying it's called booty bread because it's the butt end of the loaf. Trust me on this. Maybe we could get a baker to call in. Maybe we could get a baker to...
Ashton's mom.
She can't make bread. I love her to death. She can't make bread.
Oh, well.
Really?
She can't. There's two things she cannot make. Bread and cookies. Like from scratch. She can't do it.
But
telling you, she can't do it.
What do you mean she can't make
like
cookies?
Just not consistently... They're good, but they're not like...
It sounds like he has a very high standard for what he expects from the bakers in his life.
Well, I mean...
She was
like
a professional baker. Like, yeah. Why is it on me?
Can you make bread?
Well, she came from the top rope that was like, she can't bake bread.
Right,
and I didn't mean that Susie has to call in. I just mean that somebody who has bread baking experience, I'm not saying you have to be an elite, like, baker level, just tell us what you call the ends of the bread. We got a lot of responses here. We have no consensus.
Are we going to accept the baker's decision, whatever he or she calls up and tells us?
I think we should, right?
Does there have to be
a name?
A heel of the bread? Can't you do it so it's just...
I mean, there are, depending on the type of pan, Chewy, yes, yeah. That's fair.
Is
that's
that a, true?
Yes.
For real? You yes. can make bread that doesn't have...
Because sometimes there are pans where the front of the pan itself, you're putting the bread in it, maybe rises so much that when you bake it, it just flattens against the ends of the receptacle that you're baking it in. Then you can... It's not like a butt... Yes, technically there's a butt end, but it's not the same. You know,
but it's still going to... You know, it's going to be... Because it's on the outside, it's going to be that little bit of a firmer
piece. Up against the pan, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a little... It's going to be a firmer butt.
And you prefer softer?
Well, I mean, I like...
Okay.
It depends. On what? The day? Yeah. Where's the moon at? Yeah, you got to figure that out.
Oh, my gosh. It's on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. What do you call the first and last slice of a loaf of bread? Right now, 40% of the votes saying the butt. So where did that start? Where it was like the butt of the bread? Ashton, you said you looked it up earlier and you found the end.
Yeah, there's no like official name, but it's more commonly known as the end of the loaf.
It's a colloquial thing, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I saw knob, but that made no sense to me. Not as if that's just another suggestion I saw was the knob of the bread, but I don't understand that one. Do you guys? The knob?
Not really, no.
Kind of like the knob of the bread, though.
But when I think knob, I always think of doorknob.
Yeah.
So you're... Well,
but think about the loaves of bread, how they, like French bread, you know, like the French bread, how it's a little more rounded at the end as opposed to like squared off. Maybe that's why they call it the knob.
French bread. Great point. I love the end of the French bread.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I do. A little pointiness.
No, I still lop those off.
Yeah. Birds.
Giving birds French bread?
With birds.
Huh?
Giving birds French bread?
Let me ask you a question. Are you a bird watcher? Since you're collecting all these birds, do you then say, there's a blue jay, there's a cardinal, there's a...
Finches, yeah.
Robins are driving me nuts. Like that.
Robins are driving me absolutely crazy. If I had a pellet gun. You know why they're such a pain in the ass? Because they're meat eaters.
Robins are?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Look it up.
Someone call Robin Ventura.
Look it up.
Robin Lopez.
You don't have robins all over your house just crapping
some.
And
what do you mean to eat meat?
Squawking?
Where are they getting the meat?
Worms.
Oh, that's meat? I just assumed all birds ate worms.
No.
What do you mean no?
Every story I was taught as a child was the early bird gets the worm. It wasn't the early robin gets the worm.
Yeah,
They're meat eaters.
You're telling me blue jays ain't going to enjoy a good worm every now and then?
They like seeds, and they like bread, and they like...
But not the ends.
Little pasta.
Not the butts.
Oh, so they like pasta.
Yeah.
He's got a regular old country buffet over here happening in his yard for the birds. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, Chewy. We roll on right after this.